on this Saturday of the 14th week in ordinary time. Ordinary time doesn't mean that it's ordinary, like there's nothing going on. Just go to prayer for a little while and let the Lord show you what's going on. It's not ordinary at all. I mean, this is a time of great conflict between light and darkness, and it's not ordinary. But it's used in another sense here. We begin first Isaiah. We just finished Hosea. Now we begin Isaiah. And we begin with his prophetic call, which is in chapter 6. Now you'll notice that nearly every prophet recounts his vocation. That's all the credentials he has. Isaiah is going to say some pretty powerful things to Ahaz, for instance. And the response is, well, who are you? Thus says the Lord. How do I know the Lord is talking to you? You know, you're coming, you're disrupting this thing, you're disloyal, you're not. And the prophet can only answer by recounting his call. Those are his credentials. And that call of the prophet stamps him and his whole message. The calls are different. We just finished Hosea, whose call was that he married a woman who betrayed him, was unfaithful to him and left him, maybe became even a temple prostitute. Hard to figure that part out. And of a false god. And his experience of being unable to not love her the way he did was his call. Amos began to intercede and saw the Lord coming and these destructive things coming, the locust plague. And he interceded, O Lord, relent. How can Israel stand? He is so small. And the Lord said, this will not be. And then there was another one where the fire was going through the land. And he said again, O Lord, relent. How can Israel stand? He is so small. And the Lord said, even this, it shall not be. So you can see Amos, that's his message. But his message is one of incredible force. But it's born of that kind of love. And we could go through the prophets. Jeremiah. And don't, oh Lord, look, I'm just a child. I'm just a boy. And the Lord said, don't say I'm just a boy. You go and do what I tell you to do. And Jeremiah's life is one of great suffering. So much so that when the prophet who wrote the description of the suffering servants, wrote that whole part of Isaiah from 40 to 55, his model of this coming servant who, through vicarious suffering, was going to save the people, the model was Jeremiah, etc. We could go on. We're in the year of Paul. Paul's prophetic call was on the way to Damascus. And he says, and he uses the words, he alludes to the words of Jeremiah. The Lord called me and so forth. And the three things that stamp Paul's message are, first, the reality and the glory and the divinity of Jesus Christ. He met him, risen from the dead. And secondly, the identity between Jesus and his people. The church is the body of Christ. I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. And third, the total gratuity of justification. He's on his way to kill the Christians, and Jesus stops him and shows him such mercy. That he will never forget. And that stamps, those three things characterize his whole prophetic teaching. So today we have this the majesty of Jesus. The majesty. And that will, Isaiah was a very educated man, highly placed, probably part of the royal court, knew the literature of all the civilizations around him, alludes to it in his own prophecies. Different man than Jeremiah. And you just heard his experience of awe. Woe to me, I am doomed, for I am a man of unclean lips, living among a people of unclean lips, yet my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. And then one of the seraphim flew to me, holding an ember that he had taken with tongs from the altar. Every day, the priest says, Lord, cleanse my, before he proclaims the gospel, cleanse my heart and my lips as you claimed the lips of the prophet Isaiah. Mundacor mea maclavia mea omnipotens Deus. Every day before we read the gospel, we say this prayer. Now, what was the point of all these prophetic calls? Then I heard a voice say, whom shall I send? Who will go for me? Ah, now we understand. Prophets are sent. And they're sent to God's people because God loves us. And one of the few, most people, starting with Moses, try to get out of the job. They see what's coming, and they don't want the job. You know, it's going to be misery, it's going to be suffering, it's going to be opposition, it's going to be, Jeremiah, I'm too young, and so forth. This one says, here I am, send me. Very different. Now, it's interesting when you reflect. What does all that mean? Why does the Lord send people? Why doesn't he just enlighten everybody? Why does he send people? Mercy. Mercy. So that we can hear the word from one another and from the prophets that he sends among us. One of the roles, one of the prophetic roles of the recent popes is that they are prophets. They are delivering a message of God to the whole world. And it is a message that's coming from mercy. Before we wind up killing ourselves. Already the experts will tell us it's over for Europe. Even if today they started to have all the kids they could have, it's too late. There are not enough people to maintain Europe. Think of the blindness. And yet, birth control and abortion, full speed ahead. Blind. The same theme is in this apostolic commission that we're reading about here in Matthew. This has been going on now. This is chapter 10, the great missionary discourse. Again, the Lord is sending people. And he's warning these beloved friends of his, the ones upon whom he founds the new people of God. Fulfilling, not destroying, fulfilling Israel. 12 new patriarchs. Here they are. You are going to sit on the thrones and judge the 12 tribes of Israel. And this is what he's saying. You know, don't be afraid of them. Yeah, even if they kill you, don't be afraid of it. Strong, isn't it? What is the grace that he gives? To love the way he loves and to care the way he cares. That's the grace. It's not, well, you know, I thank the board of directors for this great honor. I'll be glad to go out and preach. a friend of mine, great evangelical preacher, from the South, of course, at least if he wasn't, they all speak with a Southern accent anyway, you know that. Part of the, you know, we wear collars, they speak with a Southern accent, you see. Anyway, he said, I can hardly imagine Jesus getting out of his Rolls Royce with his white patent leather shoes and selling tapes of a Sermon on the Mount. It's more serious than that. And so, but what drives, you see, the grace of apostolicity that is being sent is love. Tell people. And that's the law of the incarnation. If you don't do it, it doesn't get done. Period. If you're standing on a hill, there's a truck coming down, there's an infant playing in the road, you don't say, well, I wonder now how God's going to solve this. You run and grab that child. And if you don't, it doesn't get done. We have a huge responsibility. And the day we are baptized, we are anointed, right? We are anointed to be priest, prophet, and king. Priest, so that we can give our whole life to God, the Father, the way Jesus does. We're a priest, the basic priesthood of all the people of God, so that we can give our whole life to the Father and do his will. Prophet, to hear the word of God and make it known. And king, in the power of the Holy Spirit to have authority over our own life. We're kings. We have authority. We don't have to be pushed around by all the ads on TV or even on the TV itself. We have power, authority in the Holy Spirit over all the drives within us and all the drives outside of us that solicit to sin. We have authority. One of them is prophet. The two things a prophet is he knows. He's been taught. And he loves. So he preaches.